Luke this evening at some scriptures from John's Gospel, chapter 12. John's Gospel, and chapter 12, looking at verse 1 number. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my hearing hath she kept it. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, the Lord will bless these scriptures that we have read together. What we have read this evening is also recorded for us by Matthew and by Mark. And of course, when that is so, it is always good when one is looking at these scriptures on your own, at your leisure, to read the three accounts and put them together. Because very often there are little details that one gives that the other doesn't give. But we have read what John's Gospel brings before us of this last farewell supper that was given in honor of the Lord Jesus. You'll notice that it was just 6 days before the Passover. The reality of the cross was becoming so very close. We know that the cross was ever before him. He spoke of it many times, on many occasions, to different people. He could speak to Nicodemus about how that the Son of Man must be lifted up. And as the reality of Calvary draws so very near, there is this wonderful scene that takes place in the village of Bethany. Now, we know that this was a place where the Lord Jesus often went, because it was there where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived, and how often the Lord Jesus resorted to that place. But on this occasion, it's not in their home, but it is in the home of Simon the leper. Now, there are many Simons recorded in the New Testament, as you know, but this one we don't read a lot about. Some have given the idea that probably the record in Luke chapter 7 is also speaking about this, but I cannot see that. There it's the woman that came out of the city who was a sinner, you remember, and fell down at his feet, and it was in the house of another man. He too was called Simon the Pharisee. But this was in Simon the leper, his home, where they had gathered on this unique occasion. As the shades of Calvary began to come so very, very close. Now, there are, of course, brought before us Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We know that Mary, in this passage as well, is the character that is prominent. But it's also good to look at the other two, isn't it? Because there was Martha. And we always think of Martha in relation to servant. There was Lazarus, the amazing transformation, reality, resurrection that had taken place in his experience. And there he was, sitting at the table with them. He was resting, sitting at the table with them. And then we have Mary, of course, and we find Mary brought before us here in her appreciation of the Lord Jesus. Now I think, you know, there's a place for all of those three. The thought of servants, the thought of Lazarus who was resting, of Mary in her appreciation of Christ. Servant, that we should know what it is to be in service for him. The disciples, you remember, in relation to that which Lazarus is speaking of here, resting on one occasion. Remember how things were so busy, and the Lord Jesus said, to come ye yourselves apart and rest a while. Martha, Mary the thought of appreciation of the Lord Jesus. Now just let's look at this very simply. The place was Bethany. It was in the house of Simon the leper. Martha, Mary and Lazarus were there, and so were the 12 disciples. Well, sometimes, you know, we fail to grasp just how great was the task that Martha had. And they were all sitting down to a meal. And if you work it out, you'll discover that round that table, there were seated 15 men. That was quite a lot of work, wasn't it? There were the 12 disciples. There was Lazarus. There was Simon. And there was the Lord Jesus himself. My, what an amazing amount of work would have to go into that. In what she had to prepare. In what she had to do. It wasn't an easy task in any shape or any form. So we've got this seat down there at Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, 6 days before the Passover. And here, in this supper that is held in honor of the Lord Jesus, they are all gathered together. And we find that Mary is prominent in this seat. It says how that, in verse 3, that she took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. You know, it's a lovely study in relation to Mary of the three different times we find her at the feet of Jesus. What a place to be at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, it is recorded for us how that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. She's waiting at his feet, listening to his words. My, I think that's sweet. What an occupation. Sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. There, of course, she knew him and found him as the one who was the prophet. Nicodemus had earlier expressed, you remember, the teacher come from God. What an expression that was. And Nicodemus said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And Mary is sitting at the feet of the teacher come from God. She's waiting at his feet, listening to his word, knowing him as prophet. You know, the reality of time comes before you there, doesn't it? she was sitting at Jesus' feet, and she heard his word. And time is a very precious thing, isn't it? And sometimes we forget just how precious it really is. And you know, the reality is, when it comes to spiritual things, it takes time. And this world's such a busy place. And so many things that are happening, and so many things that call for your attention day after day. And yet, we know that in the midst of it all, there can be no spiritual growth and prosperity and reality if there is not time spent at his feet. The hymn writer said that it takes time to behold. You know, this world, everything is speeding up, and that's just the way it is. And that's the way of the age, and man is inventing so many different things that will do jobs so much the faster. And it's the same way right across the world, and every year it gets advanced all the time. But we know that we cannot speed this one. Spirituality can begin in an evening. Spirituality and spiritual growth cannot be attained in a short term. There must be time. Well, that's a big thing. You know, when I wasn't too long saved, that was impressed upon me again and again by others, by men whom I heard and listened. The reality that there was no easy ways, there was no shortcut, there was no quick ways to this. There must be time. Oh, I'll tell you, the reality of these things is still the same in our day and generation. The world may have speeded everything up and advanced in such an amazing number of ways, but this cannot be speeded up. In a 20th century, the only man or woman who will ever get to know God and ever get to know the reality of these things will be those who spend time with these things. He was waiting. He sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But you know, in John chapter 11, you're all familiar with, again we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. You remember how it tells us on that occasion Lazarus had died and was buried, and the sorrow and the sadness that gripped her heart, and how the Lord Jesus came and Martha met him, and the conversation that ensued. And Martha goes back and says, "Mary, the Master has come and he calleth for you." And how she rose up quickly and came unto him. And then you remember how it tells us that when she was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his foot. And then, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, well, this time Mary is at his feet. She's not weeping in the sense of Luke 10, but she's weeping. Mary at his feet, weeping. Different, isn't it? The teacher come from God. How about the amazing thing that the teacher come from God is the one who can be touched? Now she knows him. In this instance, not as prophet, but as priest. He's the one, the great high priest. He's the one who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, with no point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, blessed one. And there she was with the tears streaming down her face, and there she was at the feet of the Savior. She was learning, wasn't she? That the one that she had heard and listened to his words by the very same one could meet her need as priest, the one who could succor than the one who could care. Isn't it great to know tonight that there is one that we can bow before in all circumstances of life, in all situations, whatever they may be, the one who can meet our needs. Now, this is the third one where we read this evening in John chapter 12. It doesn't use the phrase at his feet, but we are assured that she was at his feet. When you read the words that she anointed the feet of Jesus and then she wiped his feet with her hair and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So, there's no doubt about it that to wipe his feet with her hair, she was at his feet. And here, at his feet, it's not in the relation of waiting or weeping, but it's rather that of worship. Here it's not prophet, not priest, but it is king, the one, the Lord, the king. What a scene it is. And as we watch it, we discover that there are some beautiful lessons and illustrations, even as we would gather on the first day of the week. And in that simple way, around the table, around the emblem, to remember the Lord. It's striking, as you know, when you look at it, that on that occasion here when Mary came, that she did not come to hear a sermon. You know, when we gather to remember the Lord, we do not come to hear a sermon. But we do not come to be taken up with one another. We do not come to hear some sermon or some message from any man. But rather, it is to be taken up with Christ. Rather, it is to be enraptured with his glories, with the beauties that shine from him. Taken up with thee, Lord Jesus, I would be. He did not come to hear a sermon, and yet he was the teacher come from God. And yet when you look at it again, she did not come to make a request. And yet the one who was there, he could have granted any request that could have been made, he could have granted. The one who could do exceeding abundantly above all we could even ask those things. I know these simple illustrations of when we gather to remember him and worship, that it's not a prayer meeting. It's not when we come, as it were, to ask. Rather, it's when we come to him. And then when we come to pour out what we have in our souls unto him, for his work and for his glory. You know, we never like to in any way be rigid on anything in a brother taking part. Sometimes, you know, I feel quite sad. Maybe someone turns and where what should be worshipped into a prayer. Oh, let us ever remember that when we gather in that act of remembrance, on the first day of the week, around himself, that it's something for him that we bring. Some offering bringing us something for thee. She did not come to hear a sermon. She did not come to make a request. She did not come because it was the popular thing to do. In fact, it was the very opposite. You'll discover from these verses that there was a storm, as it were, about to break. The religious leaders of the day in Jerusalem were so up in arms against the Lord And then very, very soon that arrested and crucified he would be. It wasn't a popular thing. And you know it still isn't. Misunderstood by the world. Misunderstood by the religious world. Together on the first day of every week. And just the emblems of bread and the cup upon the table. With no set pattern and no set plan. To many in the world, it just doesn't seem to add up. And to so many, it's not really the popular thing. And then what Mary was doing here when she came, it wasn't popular. It wasn't a popular thing. Maybe sometimes that's the problem today. In some ways, the very thing that used to be looked on has lost its effect. And I've heard some say, you know, in relation to preaching that things were going better for God when there was more opposition. And how true that was in days gone. How often today the reproach has nearly gone. That the acceptability in the world and in all the systems of the world, the reality of the reproach of the cross, oh, it wasn't a popular thing to do. And I always remember a story that I heard in relation to a little assembly many, many years ago in the north of Scotland. And it was a very wet and windy morning. And the small assembly, there was a few that had already gathered, and there was a couple of brethren at the door. And this old lady that lived all alone, she came through the door and entered into the little hall, and the men on the door were so surprised. And they said, you know, we didn't expect to see you here this morning. And she said, no, but oh, you know, if we could treasure the privilege and get the responsibility of just gathering for a minute. Well, we see those simple little illustrations. But what Mary brought, it was this present that she brought. This alabaster box of wine. Something for him. Something to give. We often think and speak of prayer and praise and worship. And someone has simply explained that prayer is getting from God. Asking God. And that praise glorifies God. The psalmist, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, the Lord. But worship is giving to God. Prayer is giving from God. And praise glorifies God. But worship is giving to God. And this, what you have, you know, this alabaster box of ointment, this present, and we find the preciousness of it, don't we? My John here tells us that it was really precious. We read of it in relation being very precious and very costly. Very precious and very costly. 300 pence, they reckoned it was worth. Well, that was a lot of money in those days, wasn't it? Because in those days, one penny was equal to a day's wage. So if you have 300 pence, that is a whole year's wage. When you take off the Sabbath that they didn't work, and the feast days, it was a complete years' weight in a pound of spikenard. It was very precious. It was very costly. My, this perfume, this beautiful box of ointment, it was extracted from a rare plant that grew on the mountains in the Himalayas. This perfume, this beautiful box of ointment, it was extracted from a rare plant that grew on the mountains in the Himalayas. And it was so hard to find, so hard to come by. I'll tell you, it was just the best, wasn't it? It was the best. It was costly. It was precious. What it was worth, 300 pence, equal to a full year's wage. And the thing is about it is that Mary bought this, you know. She bought it. And she bought it with the view of anointing the Lord Jesus against the day of his death. She bought it. And she came with this box of oil. And she came with the great desire to pour it in. Now, is there something there for us? You know, when we gather to remember the Lord, we need to think a bit about it before we come. When she came with purpose of heart. She bought with the great view and aim of anointing the Lord Jesus. My Lord, worship is something that, and I say this, Reverend, that you cannot turn on, you know, just like a tap of water. Worship and the reality of this, as we gather, we must come the heart that it brought us. Maya was thinking of the wise men. Do you remember what it said? Matthew 2. It said, we are come to worship. There was definite. There was desire. There was aim. We are come to worship heaven. Oh, you know, it was something that they had thought of. Something that they had been working on. Something that had been in their mind. You know how good it is, you know, that when we come to remember the Lord, and my, there is an expectancy in our hearts, and there is a desire in our hearts to gather and to be taken up with Him. That's something that's very precious, isn't it? Well, you know, we find here that she bought it with this great purpose and aim. She not only bought it, but she brought it, didn't she? She didn't leave it at home, she brought it with her. It was small, you know, in size. And of course there she was. Nobody ever would have known at all that she had bought it and brought it. It was so easily concealed. But you see, everybody knew that she bought it and she brought it when she broke it. And that was the answer, wasn't it? The answer was out. The odor filled the place. And the box of ointment that she broke, everybody knew. Everybody experienced. The perfume, the odor filled the place. The fragrance, oh my. It was something that affected all of them. Why isn't that something? Amazing, you know, the effect that you have, that I have, on other believers, the influence on other believers. And oh, here she anoints
the Lord Jesus. She anointed the feet of Jesus. Mark tells us that she anointed his head.
More like that.
She anointed the Lord that was all over his head and she anointed the head that was soon to be wounded. The feet that were soon to be pierced on the cross. His head and his feet. And oh, as the ointment, as it runs, and as the fragrance rises, and as it permeates through the whole place.
Oh, what a mystery.
There was no secret about this. There was nothing doubtful about this.
Not at all.
Well, you know, it's amazing that Mary did this. And she never said a word. Isn't that right? She never said a word. Now, you know, I would like to encourage our sisters tonight. You can break the box and never say a word.
Yes.
And many's a happy worship meeting has been the result of some sister who has broken the box. And maybe the brethren, you know, might think that it was them. But the judgment seat will tell a different story. Mary never said a word when she broke the box. And they were all affected. Oh, there's no doubt about it. That our worship meetings would be exceedingly poor if our sisters weren't there. Never let us underestimate that.
Sons of Cain.
It was this box, you know, it was broken. It was broken in its entirety. Well, it was broken in its entirety. There was nothing of a cathartic, you know. She didn't put a little bit on and say, well, I'll keep some, it's a bit expensive, you know. Don't overdo it. This box, this alabaster box of ointment, it was broken in its entirety. It was all out of the box. There was nothing kept back. There was nothing reserved. It was all for him.
Oh, yeah.
My you know, dear brother, when the Lord gives you something, don't keep it back.
Because if you keep it back, he'll not give you much more until you give it. And now, it was all right.
It was broken in its entirety.
And I'll tell you more, it was broken for eternity.
My, that box could never, never be put back together again. That ointment could never, never be put back into that box again. It was out. It was out of the box in its entirety, and it was out for eternity.
You know, it is good to remember, isn't it?
That something for him, and something given to him and for him,
is for eternal.
It has eternal dividend. The reality of the temporal is not in view. Anything that is for him and given to him has eternal consequence and eternal benefit. Something that is lasting. Well, you know, the box was broken. Broken in its entirety, broken for eternity. It was all for him.
All.
Oh, the abundance. The overflow. My, you know what I mean. It's not always we're in this condition. Is it sad to say? I know myself. My, when we gather to remember the Lord, you know, and you feel your heart overflowing to Him. And somehow within your soul, that which is springing up unto Him and for His glory, oh, would to God, oh, we were in that condition a lot more often. My dear, it was. But you know, all of them around this table, they were all debtors, weren't they? They were all debtors. Well, there was Lazarus, my, he was a debtor, wasn't he? What he owed, the Lord had brought him back again to life. There was Martha and Mary, and how indebted they were to the Lord for their brother Lazarus again. And there was Simon sitting there, and he, it would seem, the leper, had been cleansed, had been healed, and the Lord had delivered him from it. What a debt he owed! They were all debtors. All debtors. My, it's good to remember that, isn't it? That we're all debtors to grace and to God. That every last one of us. That we're all debtors to His mercy and to His grace that has been showered upon us. All deserving we are, but showered upon us abundantly pardoned. And that's what the book says. All debtors. Well, we find that the odor filled the place. There was something, you know, that affected the boy. They tell us, you know, that this odor that filled the place, that it probably stayed with them for days. Oh, it was so strong. It was so pure. It was so great, you know, that the perfume of it, that the odor of it, that it stayed with them for days. Why isn't it great, you know, when you gather to remember the Lord and there's such a nearness of the Lord and such a nearness of God that it affects you throughout the rest of the week. And somehow that you carry a fragrance with you. How good that is, you know, and your heart is overflowing. Because you've been with Jesus. And then He Himself has drew near and went with you. And all the experience and the effect of that upon your soul. Might we often pray and think that, don't we? That the thoughts we've had of Him and the fragrance of His presence may go with us during the week. Well, there was the perfume, there was the fragrance of it all. There was the purpose of it, wasn't there? Against the day the Lord Jesus said, of my burying hast you kept it. Very unique, this, isn't it? It would seem that the disciples, none of them got the reality of the words that the Lord Jesus said. He said that He was going to suffer, that He was going to die, and the third day rise again. And they didn't seem to get the message. And others got the message later, but it was too late. They came to anoint them, but it was too late. Mary was the only one that seemed to grasp the reality of what was coming. And here, the Lord specifically says that against the day of my burial, hast you kept this? It is very neat. Well, there was the purpose of it. And yet, isn't it amazing? There is the complaint that Judas made. My, he said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Oh, the constraint. Oh, we know all about Judas, don't we? And what was in there? And what wasn't there, though? The complaint that he makes, the money, he said, given to the poor. And we know that he wasn't interested in the poor. Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag. And there, what was put therein? He was just thinking of himself, you know. No, the complaint that Judas makes. What isn't it nice to Think of the commendation that the Lord makes. He says, let her alone. Let her alone. The other gospel tells us, she hath wrought a good work on me. Again we read, she hath done what she could. The commendation that the Lord Jesus makes on what Mary has done. My, he realizes that there's something special. The poor always here with you, but me, you have them loose. How true that was. How soon he would be nailed to the cross. Me, you have my own. Thinking of this, but the Lord said, let her alone. She hath wrought a good work. You know what I see from this? The very simple principle. That nothing that is given to the Lord or done for the Lord is ever wasted. Is that what I've said in you? Nothing that is given to the Lord or done for the Lord is ever wasted. Oh, child of God. Anything given to Him and anything done for Him and for His glory will never, never be wasted. But what the reality is that it's going to be there for eternity. Later, where the Lord Jesus spoke about the treasure laid up, where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Something that is ongoing. Something that is eternal. Laying up for eternity. Isn't that what we all should be after? Laying up for eternal glory. Something that is going to have eternal dividends that is going to be registered upon all of this earth and all that it has. The passion of this world, it all passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Something that's forever. Anything that's given to him and done for him alone is forever. Not always. Nothing. Yet, you know, isn't there the thought of a continuation that in relation to what Mary did? For the Lord spoke that this would be a memorial every time that the gospel would be preached, that this would be spoken of and would be a memorial of the lasting. For this evening, these simple thoughts that we have tried to draw together from these beautiful words, that they may be a blessing to our souls. My, that we might regulate our footsteps according to the Word of God. Isn't that what's all? It's living by the grace of God in the light of the Word of God, of what it beams into my soul, that by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, I might seek to enact what God would have me. That the reality of being filled with the Spirit, as Paul speaks about in the Ephesians, of being filled with the Spirit, the reality of seeking to prove the indwelling power of the Spirit of God to carry out and walk in the footsteps that He has placed and printed for us as we move through this. The glory that's coming, the eternal that we should all be in. Isn't that it? It's the eternal. It's not the temporal, but the eternal. Not the natural, but the spiritual. Not that which is just material, but
But that which is for here was something that would be for and a more something than what the last.
Oh, wouldn't it be all of our heart's desire to be that in our life? Why is it that when we reach the other that there would be something for us? And when my faith I see, my ransomed soul shall be throughout eternity something. Lord, we just thank thee again this evening for that precious word. We thank thee for bringing before us the person of the Lord and our great privilege and yet our great responsibility. We pray, Lord, that these things may be a help to each and every one, that we would know more and more the reality of worship in our soul, that our lives may be lived upon the altar for faith, that there might be something for God and something for himself. We thank thee then for thy people and for this opportunity of being here. And we do ask thy blessing upon the testimony here and the witness and the work for thee. Grant, Lord, that it might prosper and would be for thy glory and for thy name. So we seek thy parting blessing in the precious name of the Lord Jesus.
443, could we sing, please?
443. Verse 4 says, all that I am and have, thy gifts of free. In joy and grief through life, O Lord, for thee. When thy face I see, my ransomed soul shall be through all eternity, something
for thee.
Verses 1, 3, and 4, just keeping our seats free.